going to be in John 3. And you're going to be there with me. Right, so I'm going to read this out. I'm doing a slightly different way this morning. So we're going to start off John 3 from verse 1, and I'm going to be reading up to number 12. Okay, so, John 3 from chapter 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, that we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" And now I'm going to switch to verse 31. If you're in your Bibles, we're going to go to verse 31. "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And we're going back to verse 13 now. John 13. "No one who has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Hallelujah. "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for this word you've laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray, Father God, you prepare hearts to receive what you're saying this morning, Father God. I pray, Father God, that everyone here will hear the voice behind the voice this morning. We'll hear exactly what you're saying to them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus here explains two very important things. First, in verse 3, in John 3:3, he explains about seeing the kingdom of heaven. So John 3:3, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again." So no one can see the kingdom of heaven unless they're born again. And then in verse 5, in John 3:5, he says about entering the kingdom of heaven. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born of water and the Spirit." And he explains that you're not going to be able to do either of these things unless you're born again. You're not going to be able to see the kingdom of heaven, what's going on, and you're not going to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Nicodemus has realized that something incredible was happening with Jesus. Something incredible was happening with this teacher. And back in John 2:23, Nicodemus, it says, now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. And Nicodemus was one of the many who believed in his name when they saw the signs. He was one of the head Pharisees, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a leader, and he was a teacher of religious matters, and his name meant conqueror of the people. And John 3:1, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. So it says a ruler of the Jews. And that ruler comes from the Greek word archon, and it means chief one, it means ruler, it means prince. So this guy was high up amongst the Jewish people. As I say, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the government, basically consisting of the Pharisees and the Sadducees together. And the Pharisees were the actual group of people that Jesus reserved the most scorn for. Matthew 23:51, he says some things about the Pharisees. It says, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and then you make him into twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." Okay. He also calls them whitewashed tombs, and he repeatedly calls them hypocrites. And Nicodemus was one of the biggest fish in this pond. But John 3:10 tells us, he says to him, "You are a teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things." He's lacking in his faith, you see. But he's curious, Nicodemus, and he has a hunger. And he believed in his name, but Jesus tells him that this is not enough. Not for Nicodemus, because Nicodemus was set in his ways. He was a Pharisee, set in his traditions. And he calls Jesus great. He calls him Rabbi. And the Pharisees saw themselves as great. They saw themselves as great teachers of the law, interpreters of the law. But for Nicodemus to call him a great teacher means he had respect for his ability to interpret scripture. It means he had great respect for his knowledge of the law. But to see the kingdom of heaven, he must be born again from above. There is actually nothing that he can do. And no works or understanding of the scriptures is going to help him. Nothing is going to open his eyes. Because Nicodemus, despite his great learning, he cannot see spiritually. And he comes to him by night. And he comes in darkness. But the darkness that engulfs his soul is much deeper than the darkness around him. He's wallowing in pride. And he's convinced that because of all he's doing, he's going to heaven. Because of what he has done. And now this teacher is telling him he's fallen short. He's telling him he's not going there, despite his excessive learning. Basically, he hasn't got a clue about spiritual matters. He knows only how to do things, not how to see things. And Jesus is even skeptical that if he tells him, he will believe. If he tells him things about the kingdom, will he believe? Verse 12, "How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" And I continually meet men like this, men who don't listen because they think they know it all. Their lives are in a mess and they think they know it all. And Nicodemus has declared with his own mouth that he knows that him, Jesus, is a teacher that comes from God, unlike himself, who knows that he is a teacher who has come from man. And believe. He isn't able to because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. A man has taught him earthly things. He's taught him how to keep the law. He's taught him how to maintain the traditions. And I believe that Jesus suspected that this guy is an old wineskin in which he cannot pour his new wine because it won't be flexible enough to expand and contain what is going to happen to him. But Jesus is about to tell him the greatest spiritual truth of all, that he will not enter into heaven unless he experiences a new birth, unless he is born again from above. And when he tells him, he tells us, because it's been recorded in Scripture, we must be born again. And you know, when we was in the womb, when we were physically in our mother's womb, we didn't know anything. We was in a different environment completely. We was in an environment that we can't remember, but we were alive. We was alive in the womb. And then our mothers gave birth to us and pow, we're in the world. And that's when it all starts. I was 2 weeks late, by the way. They had to drag me out the tongs, my mother tells me. I didn't want to come out. I knew what was going to happen. I reckon I knew the grief that was waiting for me out there. So I had a bit of a slow physical birth, and I had a bit of a slow spiritual birth as well. I've got to tell you, my whole family got saved, and it took another 15 years for me to get saved. And then when I did get saved, I was drinking heavily for another 7 years before I started taking it seriously. So I had a difficult birth, first one and second, physically and spiritually. But there's nothing that we did to be born, was there? There was no works we did to be born. We didn't ask to be born. We were just chosen by God. And our mothers and fathers created the physical bodies. That's where our body comes from. But it was God who created our human spirit. And this is who we are. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. God picked up the earth and he breathed life into man. He created man and he breathed life into us. He breathed his spirit. And that comes from the Hebrew word ruach, which means wind, it means breath, and it means spirit. And it means the same in Greek. It comes, the word is pneuma, meaning spirit. But it also means wind and it means breath. And we are not our bodies. We are not our bodies. This is not me. My soul is my body. And it's meets with my spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, has ignited and brought alive. And we know we're not our bodies. Because if I cut my arm off, I'm still me. If I cut both arms off, I'm still me. If I cut my arms and legs off, I'm still me. So my body, my flesh is not who I am, is it? Our bodies are irrelevant. They're just a temple for the Holy Spirit. And then we live our life not knowing about spiritual things until we get regenerated. To generate means to make something happen, like a generator generates electricity. And we get regenerated when the Spirit of God kisses our human spirit, and then we begin to happen spiritually. But in a sense, we're in an ungenerated state when we're in a spiritual womb. Because unless we die to our own plans, that's when we're going to really get born. When we die to our own plans, when we put our trust in his plan for our lives. And this is the great mystery of this life. This life is just preparation for eternity. So we spend 9 months in the womb, and then we're born. And maybe 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years. And then all eternity, if we ask him into our hearts. All eternity with Jesus. All eternity in a different dimension in heaven. And here in our scripture, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you're not going to get there unless you're born again. And when he says this to Nicodemus, he says it to all mankind. So Nicodemus played a vital role in our transformation by going to Jesus. Being born again is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible, 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God, our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 calls us new creations. The old has gone, the new has come. So after our spiritual birth, we're getting ready for eternity. We're getting ready for our death. We're getting ready to be with Jesus, who in his great mercy came to earth and was tortured and crucified so that we can live forever. And verse 18, John 18, says, he who believes in me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned. That's what it takes to get born again, faith. It takes faith. We need to believe. That's all. And the enemy is as trying as hard as he can to discredit this truth. You hear lots of people claiming that they're born again, don't you? A lot of prisoners say they're born again. I've changed. I'm trying to get out of jail. I'm a new man. I've changed. Honest, I've changed. And in America, you see born again Christians are pictured as Bible thumping fundamentalists. The enemy is trying to paint a bad picture. He's trying to give Christianity a bad reputation. But it's not true. A born-again Christian is a person who's made a commitment to Jesus, whose spirit has come alive. And this is how we get into heaven. This is how we get there, folks. Poor old Nicodemus had spent his whole life trying as hard as he can to get there. And now, here is the truth in front of him. Nicodemus has been blind, and he cannot see. His spiritual eyes are shut. But you see, Jesus has a way of opening up the eyes of the blind. And I think of the healing in Mark 8 and 22 to 25. He heals this man, he heals a blind man, and he rubs spit into his eyes. And he says, can you see? And he says, I can see. And in Mark 8, 24, he says, I look up, I see people looking like trees walking around. And then Jesus does it again. He says, can you see? And he says, yes, I can see. It's almost as though he gets it wrong. But he doesn't. What's happening? He opens his eyes spiritually first. And then he opens his eyes physically. So when he says, I can see trees in the Bible, picture men. In Isaiah 55 and verse 12, it says, all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Trees don't have hands, they don't clap. Trees represent men in the Bible. And when you look at trees, have you ever looked at a tree, especially when it hasn't got leaves on? And then you look at our lungs. If you look at an x-ray of our lungs, you can see it's the same layout as a tree. If you look. And trees are there, aren't they? To turn carbon dioxide into oxygen, aren't they? The world actually needs carbon dioxide to create oxygen. So I don't know where these climate change people are getting it all from, because the world needs carbon dioxide to feed the trees, to give us oxygen. But they don't clap their hands. In the Bible, trees are men, spiritual men. So he opens his eyes spiritually, and then he opens his eyes physically. And before we get born again, we can't see. Like Nicodemus, we were blind men. But there's always a reason for delay with Jesus. If we're waiting for God to move in a situation in our lives, there's always a reason for delay. And Jesus is the creator, and he does things in his own time. Jesus has the keys to his creation as well. And now he's taken back the keys for death and Hades as well. Revelations 1:8, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And amen, I have the keys to death and Hades. That means we have the opportunity to conquer death. And death to us has become birth. What wonderful turnaround. No wonder Paul shouts out, "O death, where is your sting?" Before Jesus' death and resurrection, the devil had the keys, but Christ took them back. And now we're born again. We have Christ living in us by his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ living us, living in us. He is omnipresent. He's in our mind. He knows our thoughts and he knows our heart. And Colossians 2:13-15 says, "And you being dead in your trespasses, in your sin, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them at the cross." And what Paul was talking about was he led the demonic forces in a display. The Romans, when they conquered an enemy, walked through Rome with their enemy in chains, and all the people would laugh at them. And this is what Jesus did to the demonic realm at the cross. He won the victory there. Up until that point, they had uncontested rule, but now they have been challenged and they have been defeated. The war has been won, but we still, in our lives, have to wrestle these powers until they're finally thrown into the pit. Ephesians 6:12 tells we have to wrestle the powers and the principalities. And we do that until the final day when they are thrown into the pit with the devil. So we're going to receive opposition as born-again believers. But we are now a threat to the devil. And the devil knows what's happening here. He knows what's happened. We are no longer his property, but we are Jesus' property when we get born again. Yeah. It's like on the D-Day lands. The Germans had the higher ground when the troops landed on the beach. They had a temporary advantage. And in a way, it's like we're on the beach making our way up. The Allies had the victory, but they had to fight. We have the higher ground though now, and we're looking down on them because we have the higher ground, because Ephesians 2:6 tells us we are seated in heavenly places now. So all the time that we're filled with the Spirit, we're advancing up the beaches and taking ground. But when we start leaking, the enemy starts coming in and taking some ground, trying to take some ground back of us. Ephesians 5:18 tells us not to get drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And that means to be constantly filled with the Spirit in the Greek. It means to continually be topping up with the Spirit. It goes on to say, 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So now we're born again spiritually, we have to maintain ourselves. We have to maintain ourselves. We have to keep immersing ourselves in the Spirit because we're wrestling the powers and the principalities. We're on the beaches, we're under fire, but we've got the victory. You know, the Germans weren't ready for the British and the Allies when they landed on the beaches. Hitler was asleep and no one dared wake him up, and they took the ground. Because no one dared wake him up and tell him what was going on. And in the same way, Satan's camp was asleep when Jesus took the victory. If the devil had known what was going to happen, he would never incite into the crucifixion. 1 Corinthians 2:8, had the rulers of this age known, they would never have crucified the King of Glory. And we saw this in the Passion film, but in the end, when the devil realises what's happening, he's, "Oh no, I've lost them." Great. What a great ending. Satan is afraid of us now, but he's doing everything he can. It's like the death throes of a dying dragon. You know, he's dangerous still. He's doing everything he can to stop the rest of the world believing this great eternal truth that a man has to be born again. Despite everything we have done, God has made a way for us. For he loved the world so much that he gave his only son. God doesn't want anyone to perish. Nicodemus and his pals thought that the only people who were going to get saved were the Jewish people. They were the only ones who were heaven bound. And they were heaven bound because of what they were doing unless they became an apostate, unless they totally turned their back on God. But isn't that just like today, when the vicar at the funeral says, "Here's old George, he was a good man." Old George wasn't a good man, but they always say he's a good man and he's in heaven now. It's not true. Unless they're born again, they're not in heaven. It's not true. Isaiah 64, verse 6, our works will hang around us like filthy rags. It means like a menstrual cloth of a woman, a filthy rag. That's how good our works are on the day of judgment. Not all paths lead to heaven either. That's not me saying it, that's Jesus saying it. But Jesus says, God says, you must be born again by the Spirit. God's Spirit must kiss our human spirit and spark us into life, spark us into eternity, spark us into a relationship with Jesus, allowing him to come into our lives and take control. This world is perishing. This world is perishing. And there's a lot of worrying going on about climate change. There's wars happening. But Psalm 83 and verse 5, it tells us exactly what's happening. It says they formed a conspiracy against you, talking about Israel. It's exactly what's happening now. This is being played out right now. And then the Russians, or the army of the north, the Bible tells us, will come from the north and invade. And scripture is being played out right now. The world is perishing. People say it's from climate change. And we do need to take care of this earth. We do need to be good stewards of the earth. We know it's going to be replaced because there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. And what's more important? I think it's the fact that everyone's going to hell unless they get born again. Surely that's of greater importance. God is looking after the world. In fact, he's going to replace it. And we need the rebirth, church. And we need to tell the world that they need the rebirth. Inside every single man born is this need for rebirth. Because our souls are dry. And they're dying before the rebirth. They're crying out. The poet, Lord Tennyson, said, "Ah, for a man to rise in me, that the man I am may cease to be." It's totally amazing to me that God gave us this escape room. It's like we're in a burning building, like the film The Towering Inferno. Do you remember? They're in the, how prophetic was that film in the light of 9/11? And they sling a rope over to the other building, don't they? And everyone's waiting to get into the buggy. Or like on the Titanic when there weren't enough lifeboats and everyone's jostling for a place. There's no way down, there's no way out. And imagine someone comes along and says, "Look, there's a boat over here, or there's another back door we can go down." That's what being born again is. It's our escape room from the disaster that is coming. And it's our fingertips. Oh, that the man would rise up within us and make us new, and make us whole, and make us able to see spiritually. But Nicodemus couldn't understand, and he was a man representing God. As far as the Jews were concerned, he was the man. Verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old?" he says. But the old spirit of man needs to connect with the life-giving spirit of God to be born again. You know, man has always searched for the fountain of eternal life, for eternal youth. And here is the opportunity for eternal life. And when I think of Nicodemus, I think of Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. He says the carnal man does not understand the spiritual man. It's foolishness to him. And Jesus tries to explain in verse 8 in John 3:8. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from. So is everyone born of the Spirit. It's a great mystery. And we do this, don't we? We do this, we wonder. And when the wind blows, we say, look at the trees. We say, look at the trees moving. But it isn't the trees, it's the winds. It's the winds moving the trees. And we look at the worship team, and we think, wasn't that a great performance? Or we see someone preaching, and we think, that man's bringing a good word there. He's a good preacher. But it's the Holy Spirit behind it, doing what he does. He's blowing the trees. He's making the worship sound good. He's kissing it to life. He's drawing alongside us for us to be in ministry. I wonder what he wants to do in our lives. Can we hear the gentle rustle in the treetops in our lives? Can we hear him calling us? You know, this is a great time of year when I live. I can see all the trees budding forward. Some are slower than others. Some are quicker than others. And it's beautiful to see God's creation coming to life again. And it reminds me that God is always moving. He's always moving. He is doing the growing, 1 Corinthians 3:6 tells us. He is changing the seasons. And it was time for Nicodemus to think about things, because his season was about to change. And to his credit, he went to Jesus. He was seeking God in the way he'd always been told to do. He went to the teacher. Like many religions today, people are seeking God in the way they've been trained. It's not their fault. They're genuine. They're genuinely seeking God. But the teachers carry a great responsibility for teaching, not teaching the truth, for teaching the wrong way. Because the words of Jesus stand today. And the words of Jesus are truth. And Jesus said there's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to heaven. And that means being born again of the Spirit. So I'm receiving my instruction from the one who lays down his life for us. His teaching carries weight for me. Because he rose from the dead, every word he said is true. Verily, verily, I tell you, you must be born again. And Jesus doesn't care if our parents were believers. He cares about us. Do we have him in our hearts? Do we speak to him daily? Because he is our friend and we are his children. Everyone who receives him, he gave the right to become children of God. I wonder, are we ready to receive a kiss from his Spirit? Are we ready for the truth? And we look at the world and it's searching for more and more depraved ideas, more and more confusions setting in as people go away from the Bible. We can see people are just moving so far away from the truth. Mankind, you see, has a problem, and this problem is sin. Romans 5:12 tells us, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men. And yet God says, be perfect as I am perfect, and holy as I am holy. But where would that come from if not from God? Because in our ungenerated state, we're depraved. We're not holy. Some people will try to imitate Jesus, but that will not work. Remember, our works will hang around us like filthy rags. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 says that the Lord will give us a new heart. He will turn our heart of stone to a heart of flesh, and he will put a new spirit within us. And then we can become partakers of God's divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4 tells us we can become partakers of the divine nature. But how does that happen? Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes through hearing the word of God. Because the words of the Bible, the words of Jesus, the words of the Spirit will penetrate our hearts and turn our stony heart to a heart of flesh and transform our lives. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he changes our wills. He changes our objectives for living. He changes our disposition. And he gives us a new purpose for living. The old things will pass away and everything will become new. And so we can come to Jesus in a childlike state and repent of our sins. And then by faith receive Jesus as our Lord and Saviour and declare that we're willing to follow him into a new life, a life of obedience to his teaching. So we mustn't wait any longer, because scripture is telling us that today is the day of our salvation. Today is the accepted time. So Jesus says that flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. It's almost like he's stating the obvious, and you can't get spirit out of flesh. So this birth is not a repetition of the first birth. What is born of the spirit is spirit, and what is born of the flesh, is creation. So we need to look at the trees, because this work is invisible. But the results are there in changed lives, new sights around us. Like St. Paul, the scales fall off the eyes and you can see again. You know, these days, I used to love jet skis and motorbikes and fast cars. Now I look at the trees. I look at the blossom on the trees. I look at the birds landing on the trees. And I think, isn't that wonderful? I'd rather look at that than watch motor racing on the TV. Something's happened in my heart. Something's transformed me. Something's happening. It softens our heart, the Holy Spirit. Something happened to my soul. Something's happening to men when they want to cry. Suddenly they want to cry and get born again and you want to cry. Boys don't cry though, do they, guys? The Spirit is gentle, he's mysterious, he's bold, and he doesn't leave any footprints in the sand. And he does what he likes, and he draws us, but he only comes into us when he's invited. That's why God looks at the heart, because you can't tell from looking outside, but we can't see men's hearts. But we can look for fruit in people's lives instead, because we can't see hearts like God can. Jesus said you will know them by their fruit. You can tell when someone's born again, because they start doing things that they weren't doing before, like forgiving people. Suddenly they're able to forgive. You can see beyond the tracks in the sand. They can realise the damage that's been done to their souls. And so they want to undo it and start walking in the Spirit. You see, though, the Bible is a mystery to the unregenerated person. But when you're born again, suddenly blasphemy hurts. You hear someone cussing the name of Jesus and it hurts you. Suddenly you can't swear. It hurts you when people abuse the name of the Lord. Why? Because we care about Jesus now. We've got an affection for God suddenly. Our hearts are now beating for God. And Nicodemus got this eventually, after 3 years, because John 19, verse 39 says, there also came Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. 3 years later, he turns up at the tomb, dragging 100 pounds of spices with him to bury his Lord. He's not sneaking about at night anymore. He's right there in front of everyone. I think he got it. I think he got it in the end. I think he understood what it meant to be born again, because he now puts himself on the line. And he's there with Joseph of Arimathea to take charge of the body. Now he's born again. He can now pray to the risen Christ and have fellowship with his King again. We must be born again. We have to put our faith there and start living for God, making it public. Nicodemus brought the spices and the allures, the myrrh and the allures, and they used to lay it between the folds of the linen and wrap the body in. It's expensive cloth that Jesus was buried in. He bought 100 pounds in weight, and they prepared the body. And it would seem like they did this for nothing, because the next day, Jesus is going to rise again, and he doesn't even need that body that's been lovingly prepared. It may seem like a futile exercise for him and for Joseph, but they did it in the full sight of all the people. He'd been born again. After 3 years, he got it. Some births are quicker than others, like mine. Some seeds fall on the wayside. Some take time to grow, but Nicodemus came strong in the end. It's never too late to get born again by the Spirit, and it's compulsory to be a Christian. Romans 8:9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. You need the Spirit of Christ to get into heaven. And then, after you receive that, you can seek the baptism of the Spirit. And that opens a whole new world of empowerment from the Spirit. I wonder what Nicodemus thought when he found out Christ had risen from the dead. All that time embalming the body. But his testimony was that he knew he was dead, because he spent time embalming that body. He was there. He was a witness. He was one of the Pharisees, and he was doing it in broad daylight now. And about a month later, the Spirit of Jesus is going to be poured out on all men at the day of Pentecost. And all these experiences are available to them. The baptism of the Spirit, being born again by the Spirit, and we only have to ask. Father, I pray over this church. I pray you pour your Spirit out. I pray you put a hunger in men's and women's hearts for the things of the Spirit and not the things of this world. I pray a new hunger there. I pray right now you will start working on men's hearts, Father God. We thank you, Lord, is all we have to do is ask, and then we will be born again, and then we will see the things of the kingdom, and we will enter into the kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name.